keep it real simple, keep it real simple. Bring everything right back to ground zero. Cause it all comes down to this. Love God and love people. We're living in a world that keeps breaking. But if we wanna find a way to change it, it all comes down to this. Love God and love people.
Here's to the dreamers, the misfits, the people that don't fit in. The people who view things differently. They don't go the way that society flows. They are not afraid to make an impact, no matter how big or how small. You can quote them, look up to them, and maybe disagree with them. But about the only thing you can't do is ignore them, because they change things. They aren't afraid to show love to their neighbors, even though they don't necessarily get any in return. Now, while some see them as crazy, we see change. Because the ones that think they can make a difference do.
Come on, Simple Church. How y'all doing this morning? Come on, let me hear you. To all of our friends watching around the nation and now around the world, good morning and welcome to Simple Church. We are wrapping up a series called It's Different. And we're talking about the Simple Church, also things that we've been going through in our world, because it has been a different year, no doubt about it. But specifically, this message today is all about what makes the Simple Church unique, so different. We've talked about it for the last 3 or 4 weeks. In the first week, we talked about this one point, put on the screen for you so you can see it. We are all about trying to care about other people more than our preferences. Can I get an amen on that somewhere? Come on. Now, why I say that is because at Easter, there are some things that we would prefer not to have to do, wear masks and all the different things, social distance, but we are doing it because we care more about the other person than even ourselves. So that is why this Easter, we're going to put it up here on the screen for you. Go get your tickets so that we can know how many are coming. There's a reason. We also want to care about you more than our preferences, because we're going to have more donuts than ever if you're coming. Can I get an amen on donuts somewhere? Come on. Yes. We want to make sure our drinks are covered, our donuts are covered, and also childcare is covered. So we're trying our best to think about you and be prepared for you and your family and your friends as they're coming in. So make sure you sign up for and get your tickets for next week. That was the first week we talked about that. The second week we talked about that we didn't have buildings and we've never taken an offering. Can I get an amen on that? That's pretty fun, right? Some of you are going, it's always been weird when I grew up in church, chicken buckets, gold plates, felt bags, everybody did all those different things. But here's the thing that makes Simple Church unique. No offerings, true, no buildings, but we sacrifice to solve other people's problems, not just ours. That is the heart behind the Simple Church. And so that's why we're doing the Lego thing. We'll talk about it more in the message here in a little bit. We've done a lot of different things to help people in our community, but it really is all about this one simple statement. We sacrifice to solve other people's problems, not just ours. It's one thing that makes us very unique. Now, last week, as we were kind of getting ready to wrap up, we also went into a very simple statement that said, God uses small stuff to make a huge, big impact. Now, we talked about a lot of different things, but I brought up there was only 80 people that started this church that turned into a mega church, which was kind of crazy. And our looking back over the things, we're like, I can't believe that happened. We've also talked about how a simple roll of toilet paper, when we threw it into the arena and rolled our arena at Easter, it all helped the rescue mission in town. And we've also, crazy, believe it or not, we've thrown underwear in a building. Anybody remember that? Come on, anybody remember? Underwear, socks, t-shirts. It was a small thing, but it had a huge impact because it helped all of the prisoners in our local prison system make sure that they knew they were valued and loved as well. And then I ended with the FX box, a small thing for kids and grandkids and parents and grandparents to spend time together. And this is what it's all about. If you've not signed up for one, you can do that at thefx.tv so that you can spend time with your kid. Something small done right now over a long period of time can end up being a very powerful thing. So make sure you sign up for that. Get more information on it if you don't know exactly what I'm talking about through thefx.tv. So where are we going this week, Justin? Well, this week we're wrapping it up, and we're talking about what makes us different. And this is probably, maybe, some of the things that I'm going to talk about today are the most unique things about Simple Church. For example, number one on the list is everybody talks about the fact that we are a t-shirt church. Can I get an amen on that somewhere? Because when I grew up in church, it was all about clothing. especially at Easter. If you want to talk about what makes this Easter different for you, if you're sitting at home or you're trying to figure out, man, what am I going to wear? The good news is everybody has a t-shirt. And that's why for 14 years we've said, man, it doesn't matter what you wear as long as you wear something. Can I get an amen on that? Yes. And this is the big question. Everybody's going, well, what does the Easter t-shirt look like for all of our volunteers? Are you ready? Here it is. Drum roll, please. Boom, 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 boom. There it is right there. It looks pretty good. Come on, man. Are you excited about that? Give me a little love. Are you excited about that? Driving home again, love God, love people, and solve problems. And I had a blanket somewhere. It was laying on the top of there. I'll bring it out here maybe in a minute. But it is all of these different t-shirts that we've had over the years. And we made even it into a blanket that we keep at our house because I'm talking in 14 years, there are a ton of different t-shirts. Do you see that? Yeah, toss it out here. Hey, Adam, Greg, whoever you are. I can't see who you are in the dark. Throw it out here. Come on. Hey, there you go. Thank you. I see him walking around with it. So if you're going, what are you talking about? Now, this is just kind of a unique, fun thing right there. Come on, how you like that right there? Pretty cool, right? Now, the reason I say this is because in 14 years, you can see a lot of different t-shirts. And the whole idea is everybody owns a t-shirt. You have plenty, but man, when you get another one, a new one, there's something fun and exciting about a t-shirt. So everybody, this is the good news for you this Easter. You can wear a t-shirt, an old one. You can volunteer and get a new one. But everybody is welcome, and we want them to know that clothing does not separate us. Now, some of you are saying, well, but I like to dress up. I'm one of those people that I just think it's the right thing to do. Okay, that's cool. And as I said just a couple of seconds ago, we don't care if you dress up. We just want you to know that if you're in a situation where you don't have the money to dress up, maybe you don't have, again, the resources to pull that together for your kids all the way through each and every person in your family, we don't care what you wear as long as you wear something, all right? That's a funny saying, but we have said it for a long time. This is the thing that happened while we were sitting around the office this week on this very statement. As we were talking about growing up, and now the Simple Church is 14 years older, so I think I started in my late 30s, now I'm in my early 50s, and as I age, I thought maybe at one point we will move from a t-shirt church to an old man jumper church. You know what I'm talking about? It might be that we just put the logo on there, man. And Brian Reed had a birthday this past week. Come on, give Brian some love, all right? Oldest member of the Simple Church. Not the oldest member. That's probably exaggerated. Oldest staff member we have. Jonah also had a birthday. Give Jonah a little love, high school pastor. Yeah. One of the youngest, not the youngest, but one of the youngest. And I just started laughing. I was like, man, as we get older, that looks more and more comfortable. But the only thing I can't figure out is, you know, how do you get in and out of that thing quickly? You know what I'm saying? If you got to go to the restroom or whatever, that just seems like a lot of work. But a t-shirt is easy. Shorts, t-shirt, wear it, come on. Now, I know some of you are thinking, you're like, well, Justin, what does this got to do with anything? And is there even a biblical point to this? Yes, believe it or not, there is. And this is where we get some of the ideas from. So if you're an old school person who says, you got to have the best. You got to dress up and give God your best because I grew up in that. Let me just kind of turn the little page a little bit for you, maybe focus you a little differently when you see passages like this. 1 Samuel, God doesn't look at what people see because we have a tendency to look at the outside, right? People judge by what is on the outside, but the Lord looks at the what? So what is he saying here? This is obviously talking about David when he was becoming king of Israel, and here's what's funny is, you know, they had lined up, Saul had lined up all of these different people in front of him, Samuel. They were trying to figure out who, I don't know if it was Saul or Samuel, but y'all work with me. But they were all lining up, all the brothers, going, hey, is this the king? Is this the king? Is this the king? And they're like, no. Where's the king? Well, he was a shepherd out in the field, overlooked, did not think that he had any value, did not think that he was going to be the king. But God, in this powerful illustration, was reminding us, is like, man, it's not about what's on the outside. So that's why when you come in Simple Church, it's true, you will see homeless people. You will see people of all colors. You will see people wearing everything and anything. As long as they wear something, they are welcome, because what we want to focus on as a church is pretty simple. We want it to be different. We want you to see the heart of people like God calls us to. Now, if you really need a more modern illustration, you're going, okay, Justin, that's Old Testament, that's David. Maybe, I don't know if that applies. I think it does, but I'll give you even a better one. This is found in Matthew 23, and this is Jesus speaking. And Jesus was talking about the religious groups of people that were gathering. And look what he says. He said, they're nothing but show-offs. Why was he talking about this? Because the Pharisees and the teachers would dress up, and they had all these gowns and these big headdresses, and they were like, hey, you're looking good on the outside. So here it is, on the outside, you're beautiful. You put everything on, man, you make it your very best, but inside, they're full of bones and filth. He was saying it's like a grave. Literally, he was making the illustration to the religious leaders at the time that you can put on the good dress, you can put on your Sunday best, but on the inside, I can see right through it. But there it goes, it continues on. And that's what you're like. Outside, you look good, but inside, you're evil and only pretend to be good. See, our hope, our prayer is that you can attend Simple Church. It won't be an issue of what you wear. It'll be that over time, it begins to change you from the inside out. And sure, if you decide to dress up, that's great. If you decide to wear a t-shirt, we don't care. We're more concerned with what's happening inside than we are with what's on the outside as far as what you wear. And it is true, once God begins to change you on the inside, very, very patiently, you have to wait, and the outside begins to be different. Now, that doesn't mean you dress up. It just means that you actually act different. And we're going to talk about that in just a couple minutes when I get to point number two, which is all about the music of Simple Church. One thing, again, that makes us different. Clothes make us different, but music makes us different. Now, if you've ever been a part of any Simple Church experience in 14 years, you will know that we like all types of music. Can I get an amen on that somewhere? We don't listen to just one style or one take on that. We actually enjoy all genres. And so for fun and just a little bit of a recap, I went back and pulled a little video together over the last year of what the band's done just in quarantine, just as we've been working to film these and gift you the music that you want as we've been watching through the year. And this is a little recap just to prove my point. We really do like it all. Watch. Sing a song.
He's like, isn't that sad, brother? And I just think that's one of the problems with the simple churches. You need a little more focus on the worship. And I'm like, well, and I don't even think y'all do worship music. You're sinners. Well, you just got to hang around. You got to listen to it all. And you got to pay attention because, believe it or not, we're pretty good at worship too. Watch.
Come on, get those hands up all over the room. It's time to worship God. Take a moment right now. Think of His goodness toward you. If God is nothing else, He sure is good. And we're going to sing about it tonight. Come on.
But you are good.
Man, that's just a sample. And here's the thing, all right? I want you to get this. If you come to Simple Church, if you're a part of what's going on, and you're trying to figure out what are we doing, man, let me tell you this. We deeply believe that music moves you. It can encourage you. It can challenge you. It can speak to you in ways that a sermon never will. And we also believe that it's not just the worship songs, it's even some what they call secular songs. And so we try to use all styles of music, all colors of players. Can I get an amen on some diversity in the house? Come on, what? Why? Because when we come together, man, and we get to experience music, it brings us together. So that is one of the beautiful things about it. We're not perfect. We haven't saying we got it all figured out. We're not saying it's the right way or it's the only way. It's just the simple church way, and it's different. Can I get an amen on that? Now, let me explain one last thing when it comes to this issue of why. So for all the theologians, for all of the, you know, spiritual people that would argue a point, make sure you really research what you're talking about. Before you say something about worship or you start complaining or saying that your style is more relevant or the way that it should be today, I want to draw your attention to the scripture. What? The scripture has something to say on worship, Brother Hagler? Get your pen and paper out, scholar. Worship is not how, again, you sing. It's about this living thing. Listen, worship is how you live. It's not this idea of, man, I got to sing, and if we're singing a certain way, then this is the way that God's honored. And if you only do it that way, because let me tell you something. Over thousands of years, the songs have changed. The methods have changed. It has not been the same way over the years. It is really more about your life than the song that is coming out of your mouth. Sure, a song can help. Sure, a song should encourage you. But if you're singing the songs and not living the life, it is pointless. Because in general, the thought is simply this. Throughout the New Testament, there is this driving point of going, live in such a way that it is worshipful. He doesn't talk about singing. He doesn't talk about a certain style or a certain method. He keeps saying your life is worship. Shall I draw you to the scripture in Romans 12:1? Offer your songs as a living Offer your worship. Offer your lives as a living sacrifice to Him. An offering that is only for God and pleasing to Him. What's he saying? As he was driving home, he's like, listen, man, how you really worship is when you offer your life. Not just the songs. Sure, the songs can help, and sure, worship is beautiful. It can be a part of it. But most importantly, it is your heart. It is your life. It is who you are. Considering what he has done, it is only right that you should worship him in this way. In what way? In the modern way, in a, you know, contemporary way, or a traditional way? No. In your life. This is the one thing for 14 years. And again, I led worship for many before that. We did concerts all over the country. We got to sing and play with some of the best. And this is what was always confusing. Some people would go, oh man, it was so powerful. We came in and we did this. And listen, there is no doubt music can do that. But what was always frustrating to me as a worship leader, and even not just with the crowd, but with me, it wasn't what I was singing. It was the fact that I'd get frustrated that I didn't live it when I left the arena. It wasn't that, hey, we didn't see value in the song or that we didn't try to lead worship. The problem was is that when I walked out of the arena, I still had to live it. And sometimes I didn't fulfill that. Many times I didn't fulfill that. And so my whole idea was going, God, let my life reflect you. Let my life worship you. Let everything that I say and everything that I do, let it bring you glory. So yes, songs may help, but it's way deeper than the songs we sing. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, just another point. Everything you say and everything you do, which is everything, should be done for Jesus, your Lord. Everything. It's your life. You say everything, Justin? Everything? Yes. Truth is this. Singing is much easier to focus on than living it out. Because living it out is tough. So my theory is in the church, we love to talk about singing it. And we love to focus on, well, we sang, or this is the great worship, or here's the latest, greatest song. And all of these things have been awesome, and God's used them, and I have been a part of that, and I am thankful for it. But the calling is higher than just the songs that we sing. The higher calling is that our lives would reflect Him when we live our lives. And so many times Christians get hung up on, well, it's this song. I just feel like we need to do this. I'm like, listen. If what you're singing and what you're doing inside of the walls of whatever building you're meeting in doesn't change your life to make you more like Him when you leave, then it can come across as meaningless. So, New Testament talks a lot about it. Colossians chapter 3. Be like this. You go, what do you mean? Remember, everything you say and everything you do is living worship? Be like this. Test yourself. Not on the songs you sing, but are you kind? Are you merciful to others? Humble? Gentle? Are you patient? If you got mad at somebody in the parking lot just a minute ago, you're a sinner, just like me. If you're not liking what's going to happen when it comes to Easter and you got to get a mask on or you got to sit separate and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so stupid, but you can't be humble or gentle or kind or show mercy to others, what good does it do to be singing a bunch of songs? Make you feel better? Well, I just feel better, brother, when I sing them. Well, the problem is you ain't acting different. This is what he was calling us to. Don't be angry with each other. You're like, Justin, you're angry right now. Pray for me. Y'all know that I'm messed up. Y'all already know that. This is why it comes next one, right? And forgive others because the Lord forgave you. See, this is where it keeps coming on, right? And the most important part is to love each other. Now, why do I say all that? We focus so much on songs, or we focus on buildings, or we focus on clothes, because that's all you've ever grown up with. That's what you keep talking about, and you think that is your experience. In the New Testament, and Jesus is going, that is not following me. You don't see building talk in the New Testament. You just don't go in there and go, well, man, they went into this building, or they went and made this happen. No, they were focused on loving people and sacrificially giving to the point that they were meeting needs, and they were kind, and they were humble, and they were gentle, and they were forgiving each other, and they were full of love. And yes, occasionally you will see, and they sang a song. But here's my point. In the modern church, it's like, what song they sing? What worship style they do? How they do? Listen, I'm not against it, but what I'm trying to tell you is this. What I dream of and what I hope for is that we, as the people of God, would not be known for the songs that we sing, but we would be known for the way we live and the way we treat people and the way that we love. That's the call. And if a song helps us get there, great, man. I'm going to applaud it. I'm going to be for it. But let me tell you something. I've been singing songs a long, long time. I've been seeing, and I've been leading them. I've been a part of whether it was youth groups or crusades or conferences or concerts. And all of those things have their place, but don't miss this. My hope and my prayer is that deep inside of each and every one of us, we would become more like Colossians chapter 3. In everything we say and everything we do, we would be humble and kind and gentle and loving and forgiving. All of those things that go, man, that's worship. Now, I know what some of you are saying. Well, I think I get it. Well, I got one more for you, and it's from Jesus himself. When you bring Jesus into it, hang on. Here it is. It's who you are and the way you live that count before God. Songs? No. Worship style? No. Your worship must engage your spirit inside of you, once again, and the pursuit of truth, right? And it continues on. That's the kind of people the Father's looking for. Those who are simply and honestly themselves before him in their worship. Jesus was driving it home to a woman at the well going, hey, listen, man, I understand one person's saying one thing and somebody else is saying this and you think it's that and I think it's that. But let me tell you something. God is looking inside and a new day has come. Where it won't matter if you're inside a building or not inside a building. You go look it up. It won't matter if you grew up this way or that way. That, man, when you focus on him and you choose to live your life for him, man, when you start seeing, God is looking for those people who are keeping it real, who are honest and transparent and say, man, I am not where I want to be and I got a lot of work to do, but God, change me and help me. He said, man, that's who I'm looking for. That's who we want to be, and that's one way that we're different. Number three. This is the one that we catch some flack on, too. Well, I just think, brother, that the simple church just has too much fun. That's their problem. All right, so you don't like our clothes. You don't like our music. We're 0 for 2. Now we're 0 for 3. All right. You go, well, what do you mean? It's not very spiritual, Justin. Well, here's what I'm figuring out in my life. I learned it from a guy like Randy Walker. Believe it or not, Randy's here today, and I've seen him do middle school ministry all the way through to serving on our ministry team. And you're ready for that? And you go, what's the spiritual lesson that somebody like Randy would teach you? And it was not just him, but he's one of the guys. You ready? Life is too short not to enjoy the ride. Listen, man, church can get so heavy. You can get so dark. You can get so depressed. You can get so into yourself and so into your thoughts. The next thing you know, you're no good for nobody. And the joy that is in the Lord can't be found by anybody. I grew up in churches like that most of my life. If you looked at everybody's faces, you'd go, what's wrong with them? You'd see them leaving church wah, 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 in the line at Luby's. You remember Luby's? I'm going over school. They had their outfits on, like, hurry up, I need I need a bigger piece of meat on my plate. I'm like, oh, you went to church, brother, welcome, come on through, you know. You're humble, kind, uplifting, man, praise the Lord. Look like you got a smile on your face too, brother, have another one, go ahead through. So you don't know why the simple church has fun? We laugh a little bit and cut up and play some music and enjoy the life because it's about that long a living. Ask Charlotte Gomez, another person I learned from. Ask Steve Gomez, another person I learned from. Who right now, Steve's battling for his life and probably won't make it. But Charlotte, you don't ever forget. Every senior trip we went on, every night that we had fun with kids and teenagers and hosting them and living life to the fullest. It matters now, don't it? And this is the thing for every one of us. You can get hung up in religion and miss the whole thing. You want to talk about what's going on today? Think about it, y'all. We just had a pandemic that the world shut down. So like Rand and Jew, you moved to be with your kid. Absolutely, I applaud it. Well, I miss them, but go get everything you can because life is short. So you in here trying to figure it out, like, man, what am I going to do? And oh my gosh, you're trying to figure out what church to go to. Go to one that's heavy. I just need to go deeper. Deeper what? Into depression? This is what's so crazy. It's like, man, the last time I checked, following Jesus was full of joy. Can I get an amen? Amen. Ain't it fun? Now, just to prove it, here's what I did. I pulled back just a little bit of video just to remind myself, to encourage you. Simple church is different, and guess what? I like it. Watch.
Ain't it fun?
From dance videos to cutting up to surfing to dressing up, having a good time. Why? Because life's short. You ready? Philippians 4:4. Be full of joy in the Lord always. I will say again, full of joy. You ain't going to come around Simple Church and go, man, they're pretty boring. Man, that's some boring stuff I've been doing. You'd be like, no, man, they having a good time. And let me tell you this. Joy is Jesus' business. That's what he does, man. When he comes in, he's like, man, I'm going to fill you with joy. Here's John the Baptist. Man, this is the thing. When they found out John the Baptist was going to be born, look, when I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. This is when John the Baptist said, hey, wait a second, is Jesus coming? Choo-choo, that's what he did. Luke 1:4, the angel reassured them, don't be afraid, he said, I bring you good news, yeah, and great joy. So from the womb of John the Baptist to the day that he was born, man, it's great news. It's great joy. To the day he encountered Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus quickly jumped down and took Jesus to his house. It's great excitement and joy. What? And then from all of those great moments, I give you many more, but how about the resurrection, those powerful moments we get to celebrate next week? Can I get an amen on that? They worshiped him and went back to Jerusalem filled with great joy. Joy is at the heart of God's plan for each and every one of us. Don't miss it. But Justin, how do we experience it? We just got to go to Simple Church. Listen, it's way more than coming to Simple Church. That's what we're trying to do. Come on a journey and try to go with us as we make it happen. But listen, Philippians 2 tells us, do what will make my joy complete. How? How do we make our joy complete? Show your love for each other in whatever you do. Don't let selfishness or pride be your guide. Why are y'all wearing masks? I tell you what, we're free, brother. We don't have to wear a mask, but do anything. We can do. Okay. Don't let selfishness or pride be your guide. Honor others more than, what's that last word? Oh, that's what we're supposed to be doing? Oh, let's let it continue. Don't be interested only in your own life. I don't have to do it. Okay. But care about the, not lies, that would be life. You gotta love that, right? There's some things that like I catch in like translation, but that one ain't it. The lives of others. Hey, there it is. Two. Hey, I don't know how y'all did that quick, but that's powerful. But care about the lives of others too. So here's my point. What's most important to you? Me, or hey man, how can I bring joy to this world? How do you do it? Joy is found in giving yourself away. How do you know that, Justin? How about the same song, and I pulled together different pictures from my life, because the most great joy-filled moments in my life is when I have died to myself and put myself in a place to serve others. Watch. Ain't it fun?
Ain't it fun?
Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. And here's the thing. It's not just me that's learned it. I've learned from all of you. I see the smile on your face when you serve others. I see the smile on your face when you put others in front of yourself. When you don't let selfishness or pride be your guide. And that's why I'm telling you, next Easter, it ain't about you. So if you're a servant and you're a volunteer, wear your mask and say, come on in, man. We're going to have a great time. Because I promise you, what we will do, no one in this city will do. The service that will happen will be unlike anything anybody has ever seen. Why do I say that so confidently? Because 14 years has told me that. And are we doing it to be prideful? Boy, we're something. No, because we're trying to do it for the person who don't go. For the person who's depressed, for the person who's struggling, for the person who needs hope, for the person who's given up, to remind them of the joy that's found in Christ. And when we get to serve them, then your joy is found. So I'm asking you, invite somebody to Easter. I'm asking you to give. Buy one of the blocks, man, from the Lego things. Why? Because when you do that, man, you're bringing joy through serving them, whether it's in Lebanon or whether it's a kid with cancer or whether it's somebody right here in our community. I'm asking you to serve. If you haven't volunteered yet, you're going, well, I'm going to one day. I'm thinking about it. No, this is your chance. This is your chance. Invite someone who needs to be encouraged. Give a little bit of your resources. $10 donation goes to spread joy throughout the world, our communities, this nation, for kids that are battling cancer and their family. So why do I say all that? Because it's not about us. Sure, you're going to get to experience it. Sure, it's going to be awesome. But here's the thing. Well, it ain't going to be the same because there's not going to be as many people. I don't care if there's 50 people there. What I care about more than anything else, deep in my soul, is that the 50 that have gathered, go, dude, this is our chance to point to Jesus and the hope of the resurrection and be reminded that we can face another day, even coming out of a pandemic, that we have a chance to change the world. That's why you're still on the planet. That's why you're still breathing. Because as I said before, none of that breathing stuff, living stuff is guaranteed. And the reason that I challenge you with this last video is this. As I want you to think through your life, I want you to think through when it's all said and done, when we wrap it all up and you go, man, what will be said of me? That you were selfish, that you were arrogant, that you were prideful, that you only cared about yourself, or that you were full of joy, that you loved everyone, that you gave sacrificially, that you always died to self, that you were patient, that you were kind. Because let me tell you something. Those are the things that people go, man, that's what I remember. And listen, the reason that we're going to do these bricks and honor those that have lost someone is because we know at a time like Easter, there's no better thing to remember who we had in our lives and celebrate what they've given, but remember as well the power of the resurrection. We have a promise to see them again. Now, as I wrap up, you go, what's the last video? Is it a Steve Hartman video, Justin? Sure is. And you go, well, what can this one be about? We've seen everything Steve had to make. No, hang on. Get your tissues ready. Watch.
His was the only story I was literally born to tell. The story of an auto worker dad who raised three children in total anonymity. Until one day, his youngest son, that would be me, put a TV control room in his garage and rigged the house with cameras just to see what the retiree did all day. Which wasn't much.
And yet, to my surprise, that story resonated with viewers. Not because he was my dad, but because he was every dad of that generation.
He lived to be 92 and never once answered a cell phone successfully.
Hello.
He had Starbucks one time.
I want a tall macchiato.
A caramel macchiato.
What a ripoff.
With an extra shot of cheapskate.
You don't have to finish it if you don't want to.
I'm not going to throw it away for $3.35.
My dad never got over the Great Depression.
Good gosh.
Even when staring into splendor, he could still spot a way to save money.
I see a dime and I see some pennies.
I see a couple of quarters. There's a good $1.50 out there, Dad.
Well, it wouldn't be that hard to get it.
Dad, we're not going to do that.
And yet, he never skimped on conversation.
That dog real?
He'd talk to anyone.
How much was gas in 1955?
Often about the history of gas prices.
You hear that?
What's that?
10 cents a gallon in Kansas at the gas war.
Really? That's interesting.
My dad was an accidental humorist.
Slow it down.
He rarely meant to be funny.
Ow.
But he was deliberate with his love.
Say a prayer.
By far, the most selfless man I knew.
So try to think of one thing you ever bought for yourself.
Well, I can't think of anything offhand.
I can't either. His death makes me an orphan. My mom died a few years ago, and I can tell you this is a unique kind of emptiness. When there is no one left on earth to love you quite so unconditionally.
The last story I did with my dad was when we had to move him out of his house in Toledo. He had to decide what was worth saving. And in the end, it all came down to faith.
Rosary?
Yeah.
And family.
I love you, Dad. Happy Valentine's Day.
You want to throw that away?
No.
A great parent does a lot more than make you wash behind your ears. A great parent is a miracle worker who can mold a helpless blob like this one into a child who feels invincible. And although losing such a parent can feel like kryptonite, remembering them in all their glory can make your heart fly. Steve Hartman, on the road in Toledo.
Why aren't y'all doing Lego blocks? It's about remembering. It's about celebrating. 14 years ago, this picture was taken. It was the very first service the Assembly Church ever had. Dad wasn't able to be there, lived out of town. But my mom was there. Does she look happy? Was she proud? And I don't know if y'all know this, there were only like 200 people there. There wasn't 10,000 like we've seen, or 6,000 or 5,000. She was just proud. So why did I write Mom on my block? Because the lessons she taught me make me the man that I am. And the reason I want you to take the time on Easter to show up, to spread the word, to make a donation, is so that you can remember. And yes, when we go into a worship set, you may recognize some of the songs and you may not. But what you will keep your eye on is the block that you wrote your loved one's name on. And as it passes from hand to hand and gets to the floor to be built, to remember a wall, a family, of friends who sacrificed, who laughed, who taught us. Because it matters. So Charlotte, you're watching, I know. I'm praying for you. And I can tell you, no block will do Steve justice. But the lessons he taught me, I'll never forget. Julia, you still sit by Randy, thank God. Can I get an amen? But I will never forget the lessons you've taught me. And our job as believers is to live in such a way that people will want to write our name on the block and go, thank you. And it won't be because you were prideful and arrogant and selfish. It'll be like Steve Hartman's dad, like my mom, who was always worried about others more than herself. Father, I pray that you would help us to be like you. The God, it won't be focused on the clothes we wear, the songs we sing, the buildings we meet in. It won't be focused on, again, all of the things that many churches focus on. It'll be on focusing our lives at being like you. And for somebody that's never made that commitment, I pray that religion would never come into their mind, that a relationship with you would change them. And out of a relationship with you, God, they would become more and more like you. And as we, as believers, followers, try to do our best to have church, to try to make it happen, that we would be like you. Sacrificial, kind, humble, gentle, selfless, sacrificial. Help us to follow your example. And if someone cries out, Jesus, come into my life, I need you. There's no magic in that prayer, God. It's the condition, as we said at the very beginning of this message. You look at the heart. Help us, God. Help us, God, to let our heart be like you. Change us. Come into our life. Help us to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I get an amen somewhere? Here's your chance. As I make a transition going into a meeting here in a couple minutes, Brian's got to do a volunteer meeting for ushers and greeters going on in a couple minutes. But here's the video to remind you on why we're doing what we're doing this Easter. Here's Emily to tell you a little bit more about it. I love y'all. Invite someone next week. Come in and let's spread some joy and have some fun and remember our loved ones and celebrate the resurrection. See you next week. Peace.
Easter is next Sunday, and one thing that makes Simple Church different is that we always do something on Easter to meet the needs of others. This year, we are rebuilding lives with Legos. If you have not purchased a Lego brick yet to honor someone you love, it's not too late. For a gift of just $10 or more, you can rebuild lives of people right here in our community, as well as love on our friends at Lighthouse Family Retreat and across the globe in Lebanon. We really encourage you to purchase your Lego before Easter. You can find all the info you need on our app or website. When you arrive on Easter and enter the arena, look for the sign that says pick up your pre-purchased Lego here. Give the volunteer your name and they will hand you your brick and a permanent marker so that you can write your loved one's name on it. If you are waiting till Easter to purchase your brick, you will look for the sign that says buy your Lego brick today. It will take a few more minutes for your transaction with credit card or cash, but we will still get you your Lego brick and a marker as well. Once you have your brick, you will take it into the arena to your seat with you. When prompted towards the end of the service, you will pass your brick to the aisle and then watch and see what it looks like to literally rebuild lives together. It is going to be a moment that we will remember forever. You don't want to miss it. Thank you for doing good locally, nationally, and worldwide. Together, we will honor Jesus and change lives.